This is Press Play. I'm Barbara Bogavin from Madeline Brand. Humans have a thing for faces. Babies of only 4 months are attracted to certain faces more than others. And for adults, it only takes a glance at a face to create a first impression. In fact, in 1/10 of a second, we decide who to trust, who to hire, who to vote for, who to avoid. But more often than not, our first impressions are wrong. Alexander Todorov writes about all of this in his new book, Face Value, and he's with us now. It's great to have you on Press Play.
Thank you for having me.
Well, as I said, you found in just study after study that it takes just a fraction of a second for people to form a first impression. So what are we honing in on? What do we base those first influential judgments on?
It's a very complex question. In fact, because people make this judgment so rapidly, they have no idea what they're basing their judgments on. But we are able to build mathematical models that actually visualize this impression. So we can show exactly what sorts of information people are using when they're forming impressions such as trustworthiness, aggressiveness, dominance, and so on.
Well, how much of a role do these first impressions play in our lives? And why don't we look at voting, say at elections, because you do have a lot of research on that. And you found that we're drawn to vote for leaders who look the most competent. First of all, why competence rather than other traits like, I don't know, fatherliness or kindness? Or
well, if you ask voters what is the most important attribute for a politician, this is the attribute that most people choose. It's competence. And in fact, this kind of, if you look at real voters, it really works for those who know next to nothing about politics.
So this is what they're going on, the face.
Exactly.
So what does a competent person typically look like? What do we agree on?
It's attractiveness, masculinity, and expression of confidence.
Oh, that's interesting. It seemed to translate, too, into what you say masculine looks are broader jaws, correct? A broader jaw and a stronger chin and maybe a furrowed brow.
Is that prominent brow ridges. Yes, a lot of these features. But also it's reflected in the texture and the reflectance on the skin. Pretty much within every culture studied so far, men tend to be darker than women. So it's reflected in kind of the darkness of the skin, and it's reflected in facial features, the shape of the facial features.
Well, how does gender play into this then if people define competency as masculine looking? Is a more masculine looking woman judged more competent?
For me, this was a very interesting and disturbing finding, because if you look at the competence models, if you look at the visualization of these impressions, it doesn't seem that it's strongly related to gender. But once you remove attractiveness, you realize that, well, there's a hidden gender bias. In a sense, these judgments will favor men on average. And in fact, in contrast to men who could be trustworthy and dominant looking at the same time, and I'm talking about perceptions, obviously, not of real character, for women, these two characteristics tend to be negatively correlated. That is, women who are perceived as dominant are also perceived as untrustworthy, which is another strong gender bias.
So it's bad news for gender. It's bad news, it sounds like, for race as well. Well, how does this then play out in real life elections?
Depending on the elections, differences in appearance can sway up to 5%. And sometimes even 5% of the votes. And if it's primary elections, the effect could be even larger. Because in primary elections, people cannot rely so strongly on powerful ideological cues like party affiliation. And so the effects are not huge, but enough to swing an election.
And the biases, they're consistent across all cultures and at all times? Or do they change with the political or the economic climate?
This is actually an interesting question, and as it happened, right-wing voters, they prefer more dominant, masculine-looking leaders, and left-wing voters prefer more feminine-looking leaders.
Well, if people are using these first impressions to determine their votes. And you also write about what a role these first impressions play in the criminal justice system. And we know that from research on juries and on judges. It influences sentencing even after trial outcomes. If these first impressions are not reliable, why have we continued to rely on them for millennia? Why don't we ever learn?
Well, number one, first impressions do serve important psychological functions. In the absence of any good information, they're kind of our best attempt to infer the intentions and the capabilities of others at the moment. And they might be accurate in the immediate situation here and now. For example, you might interact with a stranger, they look kind of unhappy and disgruntled, and you predict that you're not going to have a good interaction, and probably you're going to be right, and probably you're going to be right to avoid the interaction. But going from there to infer that this person is some kind of a disgruntled person in general, it's just an inferential error. In fact, the physiognomy, the idea that we can read the character from faces, has a very, very long history, with the first preserved documents dating back to Aristotle's time. But in terms of human evolution, this judgment most likely didn't exist until fairly recently. So if you imagine human evolution compressed within 24 hours, for most of the day, for most of these 24 hours, we have lived in very small groups, ranging from 5 to 80, 100 individuals. And in these groups, you don't need to rely on appearance to infer the dominance and the aggressiveness and the competence of other people.
Because everyone knew each other.
Exactly. Everybody knew each other. And all of this changed in the last 5 minutes, even less than the last 5 minutes of these 24 hours, when you're surrounded by strangers. In a sense, it's a psychological illusion, but illusion that makes you think that you can navigate your social environment more easily, you can size up people, and you can kind of know who they are from appearance. And
so I think it gives you the sense of having control, I think, over your
exactly.
environment.
Exactly.
Well, let's look at that. Since you study this so much, how good are you at creating accurate first impressions?
I actually completely don't trust first impressions in terms of trying to figure out what the person is. One good example is from my life is interviewing graduate students. I absolutely hate interviews because we have known for about 40 years now from psychology studies that unstructured interviews are completely useless predictors of performance. Because if you rely on the interviews, well, shy people generally don't do well in these anxiety-provoking situations, but it doesn't mean that they are not going to be absolutely outstanding creative students and later professionals. So I really try not to rely on these kinds of impressions when I'm deciding, especially if it's an important decision.
So what's the takeaway then? Should we be like you and be more skeptical of our first impressions and maybe try and subvert them? Or should we all just get plastic surgery?
Well, I certainly hope so that people could be aware and be more skeptical, taking this with a grain of salt. I always consider that graduate education in psychology and generally education in experimental psychology, judgment and decision-making, perception, in a sense, is education in modesty. Because you find out how often we are wrong in many of our decisions, in many of our impressions, but it's kind of hard to face this. So most of the time we think we are doing just fine, and we don't question our intuitions, and we never go about testing, you know, the robustness of our intuitions the way you would do it as a scientist. So we discover lots of flaws in human perceptions and human reasoning.
Well, there you have it. Alexander Todorov, he runs the Social Perception Lab at Princeton University, and his new book is Face Value. Thank you, Alexander. I don't know whether to be more depressed or less depressed about our ability to judge our fellow man and woman, but thank you for this.
No, thank you for having me.
Well, we posted some of the faces that we talked about in our conversation on our Twitter and Facebook page. Why don't you take a look and see if you agree with the majority on who looks most trustworthy or competent? I was terrible at this. You can find that at KCRW. Press play.